it's Caitlin from C-SPAN. Did you know that C-SPAN has been serving the American people for 45 years? Since our founding in 1979, C-SPAN has been documenting history with a unique approach, unfiltered, without commentary, and entirely independent from government funding. C-SPAN is funded by fees from our cable and satellite distribution partners. And now, with fewer people subscribing to cable and satellite, we're asking you to help support our next 45. Your contribution helps to ensure that we can continue to provide unfiltered, complete coverage of government proceedings on TV, online, on radio, and our mobile app, as well as context through newsletters, social media, and podcasts. Join us in preserving this legacy of access to the democratic process. Make your tax-deductible donation today at cspan.org/donate. Thank you.
This episode is brought to you by FX's The Veil, starring Elizabeth Moss. FX's The Veil is an international spy thriller that follows two women as they play a deadly game of truth and lies on the road from Istanbul to Paris and London. One woman has a secret, and the other has a mission to reveal it before thousands of lives are lost. FX's The Veil, now streaming, only on Hulu.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
On About Books, we delve into the latest news about the publishing industry with interesting insider interviews with publishing industry experts. We'll also give you updates on current nonfiction authors and books, the latest book reviews, and we'll talk about the current nonfiction books featured on C-SPAN's Book TV.
Well, over our 25-year-plus history, Book TV has covered thousands of authors, and hundreds of those authors have been published by Simon & Schuster. Jonathan Karp is the president of Simon & Schuster. Mr. Karp, congratulations on celebrating 100 years in publishing. Who are some of the favorite authors that you've worked with over the years?
Oh my gosh. Well, I guess I'll start with Bob Woodward, because I do think he's a classic Simon & Schuster author. And the funny thing is, I actually met Bob years ago when I was a summer intern at the Washington Post. And he came in and he talked to us, and he told us a story about being published by Simon & Schuster at the time. And he actually told the head of Simon & Schuster that he had an idea for a book. He thought that he should write his next book as an expose on the publishing business. And the CEO of Simon & Schuster, Dick Snyder, said, "I've got a great title for that, My Last Book." And I never forgot that joke. And Bob didn't write that book, but he has written many other great ones. And I've had the pleasure of working with him for a long time now. And he has such integrity as a reporter. He follows the facts wherever they lead him. He obviously is assiduous in cultivating his sources, and he finds things out that nobody else does. He's an extraordinary reporter.
Walter Isaacson is another author you've worked with.
Walter Isaacson is a truly convivial writer. I would follow Walter anywhere. And the thing that I think elevates Walter above a lot of other writers is his mixture of curiosity and expansive intelligence. Walter obviously has written about some of the most remarkable people in civilization, whether it's Leonardo or Benjamin Franklin or Steve Jobs. And he's able to, Einstein. I think that Walter's ability to traverse the worlds of science and culture, to find the artistry and imagination and genius in his characters is what's made him, a really extraordinary author. I read everything he writes.
Susan Orlean.
Susan Orlean is, I love Susan Orlean. I think Susan Orlean is one of the greatest literary journalists alive. And what I mean by literary journalists is that it's not just that she's a really terrific reporter. She's got a great eye for detail. But what makes Susan Orlean special is that she is funny as hell. She's got a great sense of humor. She loves people. She loves what she writes about. And I had the joy of working with her on The Orchid Thief, which is a book really about passion and obsession. It's about orchids, but it's really about passion and obsession. And Susan follows her obsessions to extremes. And she takes a while to write her books. They're elegantly crafted. And I look forward to every one of them. We published the library book. We published a book on Rin Tin Tin. Everything she writes is just an absolute pleasure to read.
And Doris Kearns Goodwin.
Well, Doris Kearns Goodwin is a national treasure. And she's been called America's historian in chief. You know, it's interesting. I think that Doris has a lot in common with Susan Orlean because they both take their time to write their books. And I think one of the reasons why is because they really get to know their subjects. And I think Doris loves people. And, you know, because Doris is writing about politics, so much about politics is about people. And she understands the way people fit into the contours of history. And her new book, An Unfinished Love Story, is her most personal book. It's a personal history of the 1960s as she lived it with her husband, Dick Goodwin, who was one of the great speech writers of that time. And what was so interesting is that in the course of their marriage, they had this perpetual argument about who was the better president, LBJ or JFK. And she'd worked for LBJ, so had he, but he'd also worked for JFK. And throughout their marriage, this was an argument. And it's so interesting to read this book, to see them relive those years in the 60s and then come to different opinions. And their dialectic about these two presidents and others in the 60s changes as they grow older. And so it's kind of Doris's year of living historically. And she's really keeping the memory of her husband alive, but also telling a story about the remarkable people who they both worked with.
Simon & Schuster has put out this book in honor of its centennial, Simon & Schuster, A Century of Publishing, 1924 to 2024. For people interested in publishing, what are they going to get in this book, Mr. Karp?
They are going to get a cultural history of America through the sweep of the books that we've published. And we actually went and we got a committee together and we picked out the 100 books we thought best represented Simon & Schuster. I mean, we've published, we've published more than 14,000 books. So, I mean, we've got more than 14,000 in print. I think we've probably published, a lot more than 14,000 actually. And, but these 100, we think are emblems of what we represent. And so it spans works of, award-winning works of history, great works of fiction, but also books that had an influence on popular culture, He's Just Not That Into You, or Arnold Schwarzenegger's Guide to Bodybuilding, and then we've got great memoirs. I mean, I one of the books that I edited that I only have one book in there that I edited. It's Bruce Springsteen's autobiography, Born to Run, which is just a great story, brilliantly told. And he's a true artist. But we have our classic novels, Lonesome Dove, Catch 22. We have wonderful children's books. Chicka Chicka Boom Boom. Are You There, God? It's Me, Margaret by Judy Blume. And then we've got the books that had an impact on the culture, like All the President's Men and Steve Jobs. So the book goes into how those Simon & Schuster books came to be, the people who produced them, how the company grew and changed through the years. So it's just sort of a way of talking about the influence that Simon & Schuster had on America. On American publishing, but also how how we as a company changed through the years.
With Kizik hands-free shoes, motion sounds something like this. Kizik helps you experience the magic of motion. With over 200 patents and easy-on, easy-off technology, you'll never have to touch your shoes again. There are hundreds of styles and colors, plus a squish like nothing you've ever felt. For a limited time, get a free pair of socks with your first order at kizik.com/socks.
And in this book, you also tell the story, a short story, about how David McCullough became a Simon & Schuster loyal author.
Yes, David McCullough, we published David for over 50 years. He was a beloved author. And he, my favorite story about David McCullough, I'm not even sure it's, I'm not sure it's the one you're referring to, but I'll tell it to you because I think it really exemplifies, you know, what we are as a publishing company. David was under contract to us to write a book about Picasso. And he spent about a year on it. And he came to the conclusion that he didn't want to write the book because he really did not want Pablo Picasso in his life anymore. He didn't like the guy. And David had a really terrific literary agent named Mort Janklow. Mort came to Simon & Schuster. He said, David wants to give his money back. He wants to give his advance back. He doesn't want to write this book. And the people at Simon & Schuster at the time, I believe it was Dick Snyder, said, keep the money. Don't return it. We want to publish whatever David does next, and he'll come up with a better idea. And the book that he came up with was Truman. And obviously that changed the trajectory of David's career. It became, it was really a massive bestseller. It also was a book that a lot of people were reading in the cycle of that year's presidential election, because all the people running for president when that book came out wanted to be thought of as the next Harry Truman, the guy who could make the tough decisions, who was, who had tenacity. And so it was an influential book for the time. But David was just such a class act, and didn't waste a word on the page. He was not a verbose writer. He was an artist himself. He made watercolor illustrations, and I often thought that his artistry extended to the page, that he was writing like a painter, and you could see the characters in his books. I loved working. I got to publish his book on the Wright brothers, and that was a kind of a classic David McCullough book, because he could. It allowed him to write about the optimism of the American spirit, and the can-do nature of Americans as told through these brothers.
And that was a story, the Truman Picasso story, that I wanted to get out there. Mr. Karp, how much time do you have to work directly with authors and edit them since you've been CEO and president for the last 4 years?
Well, I still get to do it. I don't get to do it as much as I would like, but I did get to work with Doris Kearns Goodwin. I'm still working with Bob Woodward and John Irving, who is my favorite novelist of all time. And I've worked with John on three of his novels. The first one, which I think is really a classic, is called In One Person. And it was years ahead of the curve on transgender rights. And then I did Avenue of Mysteries, and most recently we published The Last Chairlift. And John, I think, is one of the greatest novelists alive and for all time. And I've been reading him since I was in high school. I think he's a pure storyteller and somebody who's been able to write about the changing nature of our culture, the mutability of gender, and the way we love and regret and love again.
Jonathan Karp, is it his topics or his style that attracts you to John Irving?
Both. I think that he has I think he has written about politics and sexuality and liberal values in a really compelling emotional way. But I also think that it's his sense of humor. John Irving is a very funny writer. And when I read The World According to Garp, in high school, I was laughing, but I was also crying.
Over the 100 years, how many owners has Simon & Schuster had, and how independent is it today?
We've had, I believe we've changed ownership 7 times. And it did start out as an independent company from Simon & Schuster. They were two guys. They were as independent as you could get. And then, they were sold and ultimately wound up as part of a media conglomerate, Gulf and Western, Paramount, CBS, Viacom, CBS, Paramount. And I think that as part of a media conglomerate, that independent spirit wasn't quite as pronounced. And I'm very happy to report that last year we were sold to KKR, and KKR has spun us off and made us truly an independent company again. And one of the biggest independent companies, in fact, the biggest independent publisher of adult and children's books in the USA. And we hope to grow even further and become even better than we already are.
How many titles are you planning to publish this year, your centennial year?
It's about 1,200. I haven't counted, and that number is a little bit ambiguous because sometimes we publish all over the world. So we're publishing in the United Kingdom, original books in Canada and India and Australia, in addition to those in the USA. And also sometimes we'll do 2 editions of a book. So a children's book might be a board book and also a hardcover. That's why the number isn't exact.
So how many books will you sell in a year about?
Well, I know that we sell about $1 billion worth of books, but I actually don't know how many units that translates to.
Mr. Karp, if somebody picks up a Macmillan book or a Scribner book or an Atria book, those are all Simon & Schuster's, right?
Well, the Macmillan is a separate company owned by Holzbrinck. It's a little bit complicated. We did buy some imprints from Macmillan years ago. But yes, we have 50 different imprints. Atria is one of them. Gallery. We started a new imprint 5 years ago called Avid Reader Press that has had a tremendous track record. I think a third of their books have become New York Times bestsellers. Same is true for Simon Element. Which is more of a practical lifestyle nonfiction imprint. Scribner is our oldest imprint. They're the publishers of Ernest Hemingway and F. Scott Fitzgerald and Edith Wharton. Has a great backlist of classic writers, but also modern classics by Anthony Doerr, All the Light We Cannot See, and Jennifer Egan, and Don DeLillo and Stephen King. So a wide range of authors and a wide range of imprints. The idea is that you want to have people who have a certain sensibility for a certain kind of book. And Atria right now is really the home for really big commercial fiction. They publish Colleen Hoover and Frederick Bachman and Sister Souljah. Then there's Gallery, which is really the home for pop culture. They had the biggest nonfiction memoir of the fall last year. It was Britney Spears. So Simon & Schuster is sort of the home for topical nonfiction, political books, history, serious topics that people are discussing. So there's a little bit of everything for everybody.
Since you joined Random House in 1989, by the way, when you were at Brown University, did you want to be in publishing? Was that your plan?
I did not have a plan. I will say that I was interested in journalism. I was interested in writing. And my father, this is true, my father said, there's this guy named Michael Korda. And he is an editor at Simon & Schuster. He's the editor-in-chief of Simon & Schuster, but he also writes books. So why don't you be like Michael Korda? Why don't you have a real job and write on the side? My dad is a very practical guy. And so, and the amazing thing is, I wound up at Simon & Schuster and working with Michael Korda. He continued to edit for us. He's a great guy. And he's still writing works of history today. And, I get email from him regularly. And he'll be coming to celebrate our anniversary with us.
And Michael Korda, of course, has been featured on Book TV as well. Since 1989, when you started in publishing, what are two or three of the major changes in how books are published?
Well, I've certainly audiobooks are a much bigger part of our business. I think when I started, they barely existed. And now they might be 25% of our sales. And so that's a big change. And it's also a very exciting change because there are a lot of people who will never buy a book, but they will listen to one. And that could mean that we're going to be getting our books to an entirely new audience of readers and also a much bigger one. Because I think that only about half of the people in the country actually buy a book in a given year. And that other half, they might be willing to listen to an audiobook. So that's a big change. I mean, obviously the other big change is Amazon and the apotheosis of digital online book selling. And the fact that people can order a book and have it pretty much instantly, either as an ebook or an audiobook, or the next day or a couple of days later. That's a big change. And it's not just Amazon, of course. I mean, other retailers are selling books online. There's a wonderful new independent online book selling organization called bookshop.org, which I think people are using. Barnes & Noble, which is really flourishing under the leadership of James Daunt, a great national book selling chain once again. So, there are a lot of ways to sell books.
Mr. Karp, finally, publishing is often thought of as kind of a dusty, stodgy profession. How do you respond to that?
I think that we're dynamic and entrepreneurial, and it's so funny because the original Simon & Schuster would have been considered the equivalent of tech bros when they started in 1924. And I think that we're right at the cutting edge, and the tech bros are calling us, and they want to work with us, and people still are influenced by books. They're still animated by them. They're inspired by them, and we are amplifying some of the most important voices and writers in the world. And I think that the expression and expressiveness that comes in a book is still unique. There's only really one place where you can focus in and hear an individual's voice straight on, in depth, in exactly the way that voice wants to be experienced. And that's why I think books have a singular and enduring place in our culture.
Jonathan Karp is the president and CEO of Simon & Schuster. Congratulations on your 100th anniversary this year, and we appreciate your joining us here on Book TV.
Thank you.
And thanks for joining us on About Books, a program and podcast produced by C-SPAN's Book TV. Book TV will continue to bring you publishing news and author programs. And a reminder that you can get this podcast on our C-SPAN Now app. And you can also watch online anytime all of our Book TV programs at booktv.org.